January 11, 7:03 p.m. Location: the master bathroom of Tim, Emily, and little Rebecca Houston, age 4 3/4.
You like your tub, don't you, sweetie?
I do.
I'm glad, but it's time to get out now. Dry off and put your PJs on.
Do I have to?
Yes, the water's getting cold, and I don't want you to catch a chill.
Will Daddy be home soon?
Not for another hour or so. He had to work late at the office. You'll be asleep when he gets home.
Will he come into my room and kiss me goodnight?
Doesn't he always? Okay, time to pull the plug out.
Don't!
But, honey...
I'm afraid.
Of what?
Going down the drain.
That's not possible. Who gave you such a silly idea?
Patty Costa at daycare.
Did she? I'll have to have a little chat with her mother.
You mean I won't go down the drain?
Of course not. You've taken lots of baths. Have you ever gone down the drain?
No. But Patty said there's a first time for everything.
It won't happen. I'll show you. Give me your rubber ducky. Thank you. Now, to show you that Patty doesn't know what she's talking about, I need to pull the plug from the drain.
But I'll...
You'll be fine. Would your daddy or I ever do anything to harm you?
No.
You'll be safe. I promise. Okay?
Okay. Mommy?
You're fine. Watch Rubber Ducky. See, honey? Rubber Ducky won't go down the drain, will he?
No.
And why is that?
He's too big. He won't fit.
Right. And you're bigger than Rubber Ducky, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
So you won't go down the drain either. Come on, let's get you ready for bed. What the?
It all started when Principal Conklin called me into his office that Friday afternoon.
Miss Foster, I'm going to have to let you go. Our budget has been cut and I need to make some staff reductions.
But I've been teaching here for 16 years.
Please clean out your desk and be off the school grounds by 4 o'clock.
That night, my friend Magda invited me out for strong drinks, light appetizers, and chat at a local pub.
Do you want to stay in teaching?
I don't know.
Oh, what other skills do you have?
I'm very well read.
Commendable, if unmarketable.
I'm a great student of the macabre.
Doesn't that mean spooky stuff? Like ghosts and witches?
Among other things, it's fascinating.
There you go.
You've lost me.
Open the phone book. What do you see? Service people. Doctors, plumbers, lawyers, people who want to help other people with their problems and make a buck while doing it. Maybe you could somehow make a living dealing with the macabre.
At first, I chuckled at Magda's suggestion, but the more I pondered it, the more I wondered. I had made a lot of friends during my time at Franklin Pierce High. I asked around.
I've had a problem with a ghost for years.
With a mummy!
With a goblin.
A banshee.
My little town was ripe with weirdness just waiting to be solved, and people who would pay good money to make these things go away. So, along with my mild-mannered teaching assistant Woodrow, who had also been laid off that Friday, I opened a small office in my converted barn and hung out my supernatural shingle.
Vampires, werewolves, zombies, they're just like us, except they drink your blood and are covered in fur and want to eat your brain. And it's all part of the job. What a girl won't do to earn a living.
Misfits Audio presents Aware Can She Be? Episode 1 of Millie Foster, Macabre Investigator. The series stars Natalie Stanfield Thomas as Millie and Glenn Haskell as Woodrow.
Woodrow, you're still here? It's late.
I wanted to catch up on some paperwork.
Thanks for staying.
You're welcome, Ms. Foster.
How many times have we gone over this?
What?
You don't have to call me Ms. Foster.
But I always have.
That may have been the rule back at Franklin Pierce High when you were my teaching assistant. You're not that now.
Thanks to Principal Conklin.
Let's not get into that again. He's not worth the effort.
What should I call you?
How about Millie?
I don't know. You're still my boss.
I insist.
All right. Millie?
I see, Woodrow. Was that so tough?
No. But since we're on the topic of names...
Uh-huh.
I've never really liked my name.
No? I've always thought it sounded very distinguished.
Maybe, but it doesn't sound... hep.
Hep?
It's not manly.
What do you want me to call you?
How about Woody?
Works for me. Starting now, we're Millie and Woody.
Great. Did you tie up the Stewart case?
Yes, I dropped their check in the ATM on the way home. It should cover this month's bills.
I don't know how you do it.
It?
This job.
It's a living.
Aren't you scared?
Sometimes. But I have one big advantage over the things I deal with.
What's that?
Knowledge.
I don't follow you.
Well, for example, I know that you need a wooden stake and a mallet to kill a vampire. I know that a silver bullet gets rid of a werewolf. I know that to kill a zombie you have to... How do you kill a zombie again?
You're asking me?
It'll come to me. Senior moment in progress.
I hope that's not about a zombie.
Google that for me while I answer the phone, will you please? Hello? The desperate-sounding man on the other end of the line introduced himself as Tim Houston. He told me a bit about what had happened and said he urgently needed my help. I drove to Mercy Hospital to meet him. Mr. Houston?
Yes?
I'm Millie Foster. You called me?
Yes, I did. Please, sit. Thanks for coming so quickly.
You're welcome. How's your daughter?
The doctors are examining her now. They suggested that I step out here and get some air for a few minutes. They should be done soon. That's her room, number 93.
How can I help you?
I heard from somebody, I can't remember who, that you deal with odd and unusual cases. Is that right?
It is.
I have something like that on my hands.
Tell me what happened.
It all started about an hour and a half ago. I had called Emily, my wife, around 4:30 to tell her that I'd be stuck at the office later than I had thought. Probably until about 7. She said she'd get Rebecca, her daughter, into bed and wait up for me. I got home a little after 8. I parked the car in the driveway and headed up the walk to the house. I was looking forward to nothing more than a quick bite to eat and then bed. I was beat. Unfortunately, that was not to be. Emily! Honey, I'm home! Huh. She must be with Becky. I walked down the hall to Becky's room. Empty. The covers hadn't even been turned down. It was then that I noticed the bathroom light was on. That's when I found Becky, sitting naked in the back of the tub, shivering, her teeth chattering. She didn't seem to notice me. Honey, what's wrong? Where's Mommy? Becky didn't respond. She looked straight ahead, staring at nothing I could see. I wrapped several towels around her, lifted her gently from the tub, and carried her to her room. Emma laid out pajamas. I put Becky in them and then called the cops and an ambulance.
Did you find your wife?
No. The cops had all kinds of theories. Maybe she went to visit a neighbor. Maybe she went for a walk or took a quick ride to the store.
And leave your little girl in the tub?
Exactly. She would never have done that.
You explained that to the police?
I did. I showed them her car, still in the garage. Her coat and purse, still on their hooks. There was no sign of any struggle. It's like she vanished.
That's why you called me.
Yes. Something's happened to her. Something strange. Can you help me?
I'll do everything I can.
Thank you.
Mr. Houston?
Yes, Doctor. How's Becky?
Your daughter seems to be in a state of shock.
Shock? From what?
We're not sure. Is this woman a family member?
She's a friend. You can talk in front of her.
If you say so.
Doctor, could the girl be in shock from witnessing whatever happened to her mother?
Very likely.
Has she said anything?
Not a word. We've brought her body temperature back up to normal. She's resting comfortably.
How long does shock last?
That's very difficult to say. It varies widely, depending on the person and what he or she witnessed that caused the shock.
Is there any way to speed it along?
What are you thinking of?
If Becky did witness what happened to your wife, we need to get that information out of her.
Doctor, what can we safely do?
Hypnosis.
Yes.
Will it work in her current condition?
I believe so. Some drug should make her more open to it.
Could it harm her? She's not even 5 years old.
I don't see how, but we'll monitor her closely. The hypnosis might even have a cathartic effect.
What do you mean?
Well, if Rebecca does in fact know what happened to her mother, regressing her through hypnosis could possibly bring her out of her shock. By telling us what occurred, she'd get it off her chest, so to speak.
It must revolve around her bath time. Could you regress her to that moment?
Certainly. I'll need to know her nightly schedule so I can regress her properly.
No problem. You're sure the hypnosis and drugs can't harm her?
We'll take every precaution.
Millie, what do you think?
I don't see that you have any choice. Something put your girl in shock. We need to find out what.
Mr. Houston, do I have your permission for the procedure?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Becky Houston was a petite thing with long blonde curls. She sat upright in her hospital bed, her back propped against some pillows, her gown a little too big for her. Her eyes looked empty. A few doctors and nurses were present, monitoring a variety of beeping and buzzing equipment. Dr. Mallory gave Becky the shot she had mentioned. Becky didn't even flinch when the needle pierced her small arm. Before long, Mallory had her hypnotized and regressed back to the time of her bath earlier that evening. That's when we all first heard the story of the thing that had grabbed her mother and pulled her kicking and screaming down the drain, and then returned for Becky's rubber ducky.
Doc, do something!
Becky, I'm going to count to three. When I reach three, you will wake up. Your daddy is here and you are safe. Do you understand?
Yes.
One, two, three.
Oh, Daddy! Daddy!
It's okay. I'm here, honey. I'm here.
After several minutes, Tim Houston managed to calm his little girl down while the doctors and nurses tended to her. We talked quietly in a corner of the room.
I'm not comfortable leaving Becky alone.
Isn't there someone you could call to come here for a while?
I suppose my sister-in-law might be able to come. Becky really likes her. Why?
We have to go to your house.
But Becky...
We'll be fine with all these doctors and nurses around. You and I need to go see what we're dealing with down that tub drain, or it won't be safe for you and Becky to return to that house ever again. After Houston's sister-in-law arrived, the two of us hurried to his home. I stole a quick peek at the tub drain. Nothing. I found it hard to believe that Emily Houston had been pulled down the drain in her entirety without leaving so much as a drop of blood behind. However, at the moment, I had no reason to doubt the story Rebecca had told us under hypnosis. Houston and I agreed that we needed to perform a test. It wasn't long before he came back to the bathroom with the things I had asked for.
Is this all right?
Perfect. Give me the fishing rod, please.
It's never been baited with raw meat before.
No one's ever tried to catch what we're fishing for before. Here goes.
Right down the drain.
What the hell?
Whoa!
Mr. Houston?
Yes?
We have a problem.
Okay, that's 6 patio bricks. Those should keep that thing out of the tub.
We'll have to block all the drains in the house. There's no reason it couldn't use any of them.
I have more bricks in the shed. How did that thing not get Becky, too?
You said you found her in the very back of the tub.
That's right.
She was probably out of its reach.
Thank God for that. What is it, Millie? Where could it have come from?
I don't know what it is, but it must live in the sewers.
But the house isn't connected to the sewers.
No?
They're not available out here. We have a septic tank.
So all the drains in the house empty into that one tank?
Right. Whenever we flush the toilet, take a shower, use the water in any way, everything goes into that tank.
And you get it pumped out every, what, year?
Every other. It was pumped a year ago, May. That's a job you couldn't pay me enough to do. Even with all the chemicals we put in there to break down the bacteria, what a smell when they pop that lid off.
What happens to the tank's contents when it's pumped?
The guys siphon everything into their truck with a long hose. I'm not sure what happens to it after that.
This thing must have gotten into your septic tank.
I don't see how. We have to get it tested every time it's pumped to make sure it's up to code. No leaks that could allow wastewater into the ground. It's always passed.
Then it must have gotten inside the tank when you last had the lid off.
The thing Becky described?
I'm sure it didn't look like that back then. It could have been any animal, a squirrel or a stray cat, for instance. You mentioned all the chemicals you put into the tank. Whatever got in there must have mutated into what it is now in order to survive in its new environment. I don't see a choice. We have to kill it.
Agreed. But how?
We'll need to pop the tank's lid and coax the thing out. We'll put down some bait. It likes raw meat, so it wants to leave the tank to eat.
Are you serious? It already killed my wife. This thing is deadly.
Exactly why we need to kill it as soon as possible.
We should get the police in on this.
They wouldn't believe you.
But if they...
There's no time.
Your plan sounds pretty dangerous.
That's why I'll be near the bait and you won't.
Millie, you can't!
I'll need to be close to get a good shot at it. The meat may not be enough to tempt it out of the tank. It may want... more.
You can't put yourself in that situation for my family!
Don't worry about me.
You saw how quick this thing is. It could be on you before you know it.
I'm trying not to think about that. Ever do any shooting?
No. I don't believe in guns.
I've got 2 pistols in my car, 1 for each of us.
But I've never fired a gun.
Then it's time for a crash course. We need to get this thing as soon as possible. Right after sunrise would be good, before it has the chance to do any more harm.
I can't!
It's our only choice. You'd better call the hospital and make sure your sister-in-law or another relative can stay with Becky until we finish our job. I need you here, Mr. Houston. I can't do this on my own. The next morning, bright and early, I positioned Mr. Houston on the porch overlooking the backyard. Along with the other bait, I stood near the septic tank's lid, gun in hand. With the help of a crowbar, I opened the lid of the tank. The smell would have knocked a buzzard off a gut wagon. It didn't take long for the creature to smell its next meal. The thing was tall, maybe 7 feet tall, and reeked of its tank home. Whatever fur had once covered it now hung off its body like rotting seaweed and swayed with its every move. It paused briefly at the pile of meat, but then, sensing that I was a threat, or tastier, or both, it sprang at me. Mr. Houston fired twice at the thing, but didn't even wing it. In a few quick seconds, the creature was in front of me. It knocked the gun from my hand with such force that it opened a long gash in my palm. The thing and I faced each other like boxers sizing their opponents up in the ring. I saw Mr. Houston quickly descend the porch stairs to the yard, trying to get closer to take a better shot. No! Get back! Hearing me yell, the creature turned for a moment to see what was happening behind it. I ran to the garden shed where the patio bricks had been stored. I ripped open the door. I had found what I needed. I grabbed the pitchfork hanging on the wall, charged at the thing, and ran it through! The thing let out a deafening roar as I jammed the pitchfork into its gut, through its body and out its back. Purple goo, blood, poured from its wound onto the green grass. The creature tried in vain to get a grip on the tool and pull it out. Seconds later, it stopped, swayed like a drunken man, and collapsed on its side at my feet. It flinched wildly for a few seconds before it loudly exhaled and died. The local authorities came and took the creature's carcass away. The boss of the group said he had never seen anything like it. I wish I could tell you what the thing was, but the results of the necropsy aren't in yet. Whatever it was deadly. Rebecca has been released from the hospital, but will sadly require extensive therapy for what she witnessed. The services for her mom are being planned. I'll be certain to stop by and pay my respects. Tim Houston has promised me that the next time he has the septic tank pumped, he'll be out there to make certain that nothing finds its way inside. I'll have a clothespin on my nose, he said, but I'll be out there.
You have been listening to Oh Where Can She Be? Episode 1 of Millie Foster, Macabre Investigator. The series stars Natalie Stanfield Thomas as Millie and Glenn Haskell as Woodrow. Guest starring in this episode, in order of appearance, were Karen Gerstmann as Emily Houston, Lila Berzins as Rebecca Houston, Mark Jones as Principal Conklin, Trisha Groves as Magda, Deb Adams as Woman Number 1, Ted Wenskis as Man Number 1, Fiona Thrale as Woman Number 2, Jan Anderson as Man Number 2, Russell Gold as Tim Houston, and Melissa Exelberth as Dr. Mallory. The series was created, produced, and written by Mike Murphy. Assistant producer, Captain John Tadrazak. Post-production was accomplished by Alex Losford. Music for the series was composed and performed by John Carl Toth. It is copyright 2014 and is used with his permission. To hear more of his music, please visit his website at johnnytoth.wix.com/music. Script editor, Arlene Osborne. Art director, Alexa Chipman. Webmaster, Captain John Tadrazak. This production is copyright 2014 by Misfits Audio and is intended for enjoyment purposes only. All the characters portrayed in this series are fictitious. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. Please visit us on the web at misfitsaudio.com and on Facebook. This is your narrator, Fran McClellan, speaking.